All right. We'll be turning to Matthew chapter 15, verse number 10. Matthew 15, 10. And as I like to do, you know, Burr Shepherd has us read responsively. He reads a verse, we read a verse. I like to keep us in practice there. So I'll read a verse and then you read a verse. Matthew 15, 10 through 20. See, I'm in 16. Let me back up here. Matthew 15, 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemes. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Brother Duncan, will you pray for us? This, what goes into the heart does not, what goes into the mouth does not defile a man, but what comes out, the same being what comes out of the heart defiles a man. The context of this is in verse number 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your father, by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. So he's going on here. The Jews, the Pharisees specifically, are complaining that they didn't wash their hands. They're not following traditions. Not the old past, but man's traditions. And Jesus is saying, well, you've broken the old past. You've broken God's commandment by your traditions. And he says, it's not what goes in that defiles the man, but what comes out. I titled this, for the sake of keeping it on the record up there, what are you eating? And that God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what are you eating? Asking the question tonight. What is going into you and what is going to come out of you, if I can put it that way? One example that's very easy to use for this is bad breath. Bad breath comes from a multitude of things. Just gunk in your mouth. But namely, it comes from your gut. And whatever goes into your gut affects your breath. For example, I like to eat garlic. If I was to sit there and eat 3 cloves of garlic, everybody in this room would know I ate 3 cloves of garlic. But I can brush my teeth. I can take a breath mint. I can try to conceal what I've eaten, but it will eventually seep out. You will know what I took in. The same thing with the heart. You can try to conceal what you've done, but what you fill your heart with will inevitably come out. This same sentiment is repeated, or I'd say it's not repeated, it was said once again in Matthew 12, 33. This is Jesus again talking to the Pharisees whenever they said he cast out devils by the prince of devils. That's the context here in the middle of his rebuking them. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever that abundance, whatever is overflowing in your heart is going to eventually come out of your mouth. Whatever you put into your mind, into your eyes, into your ears will fill your heart. And over time, that will come out of your mouth. And that is what makes you unclean, the Bible says. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Again, in the context of the title here, if you're eating, for parable's sake, if you're eating a bunch of healthy food for you, it's going to show in your appearance, it's going to show in your body that you eat healthy. If you eat exclusively junk food and unhealthy things, it's going to appear in your body. People are going to see you're eating unhealthily. Same thing, a good man, if you're taking in good things, taking in things of God, the abundance of your heart will show that you're giving, that you're taking in good things. The treasure of your heart will bring forth good things. If you're taking in evil things, the abundance of your heart, the treasure of your heart will bring forth evil things. In verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Again, going back to what we just read earlier. Let me get it right there. I want to make sure, I'm not going to quote it, I'm going to try to read it correctly. It says, whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the drop. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Jesus said, you're going to be judged on what you say. And what you say is going to come from what's in your heart and what's overflowing from your heart. And what's overflowing from your heart is going to be what you're filling it with, what you're filling your heart with. Same concept in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Sorry, I said Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20 through 27 here. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. You know the proverb, Solomon is advising his son. This is good counsel, this is godly counsel. God gave King Solomon wisdom, saying, keep these sayings, let them not depart from, keep them in the midst of your heart. Let your heart abundantly overflow with these good sayings. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Don't just say, okay, I'm guarding my heart, then put up a piece of paper as your shield. A lot of things can tear through this piece of paper. Be diligent about it. Be aware. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary, the devil. I'm quoted that backwards. But be diligent. Be aware of what's going on. Guard your heart. Pay attention to what you're putting into your mind. Because what you fill your mind with will fill up your heart. And the overflow of your heart will come out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth will be what either testifies for you or against you on the day of judgment. Say, well, Brother Matt, how does all that apply? How do you know what I see affects my heart? Matthew 5:27. Matthew 5:27. Jesus is saying, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery physically? No. He's committed adultery with her already in his heart. So that's again saying, if you're not careful, if you're not diligent of your heart, it's going to overflow. It's going to fill you. Jesus is saying, you're wanting to sin, then you might as well have already sinned. It's going to judge you. I remember, I believe it was a year, 2 years ago, Dennis Prager of PragerU, there was a big controversy with him because they were asking about pornography and adultery and everything. He said, well, as long as you're not physically doing it, the law allows for it. That's not Bible. That's not the way Deuteronomy reads. That's not the way the books of Moses reads. That's the way Phariseeism reads. That's the way Judaism reads. Jesus says, if you look at a woman, not just, you know, you go to Walmart, you see somebody. You can't help seeing somebody walking past them. You can't help that somebody goes across the crosswalk. But if you're looking at them, lusting after them in your heart, you've committed adultery already. And again, that's just feeding the bad habits. You keep feeding those bad habits, they're going to fill your heart, they're going to overflow your heart, and they're going to come out of your mouth. So we need to fill our heart with the words of God. We need to fill our heart with good things. That's not to say don't ignore everything else. If you work a job site, if you work construction, and if you build houses like Brother Troy, I would hope you take interest in building houses. I was sitting there as I was typing my notes here. I was looking around my house, remembering there's a few spots in my roof where it goes straight. The carpenter made a mistake and it made a bump and then goes straight again. And so his other cuts, he had to make straight, bump to correct it, and keep going straight. I was sitting there thinking, I sure hope he loved doing what he's doing or this house is going to fall apart. Same thing. I would hope a carpenter building my house loved carpentry. There's nothing wrong. It's okay to have passions. Just don't overdo it. Don't have sinful passions. A carpenter should love doing carpentry. A construction worker should love construction. Just a tradesman hopefully would love his trade. And because he loves that trade, it will fill his heart. And it will come out. They'll want to talk about it. They'll want to talk about it. They'll want to tell you about it. They'll want to teach you how things work. And they'll be able to use examples in their trade in everyday life to give you an example of something. So, but again, our focus should be good things. Our focus should be the Bible. If you're out here reading false Bibles, false books that claim to be God's Word, there is a case where there is a time that if you are dealing with that subject specifically, that you know somebody is in a false book and you want to help show them that it's wrong, that it is sometimes necessary to read those books to show them the errors. But if you are constantly studying it as the Word of God, that's like going getting dessert. That's like going getting the bad food. It'll overflow your heart and it'll start coming out. If you're constantly focusing on mythology and the questions of the Bible, why didn't God write this? Why didn't God write this? And you start soaking in what men theorize is in the Bible that doesn't actually say. You're going to start overflowing with that and it's going to blind you to the Scriptures. So again, what are you going to fill your heart with? Are you going to fill it with the things of God? Are you going to fill it with good things? Or are you going to fill it with evil things? Are you going to fill it with useless things? I didn't mention it Wednesday, but I felt led the Lord to bring it up today. Let's go to John 15. I know the Charlie Kirk assassination was a couple weeks ago, but I don't believe it's in our church, but there is a practical example I'd like to bring out in this. What are you eating? What are you consuming regularly? Me and Brother Josh Shepherd do the Penny Rile on Thursdays. It's a news program, so I have to consume news. But sometimes I have to take a break from consuming news because it's so full of violence. The news is so full of dark, evil things that it starts to get you depressed. It starts to get you to look down on everything. It starts to get you to say, vanity, vanity. Everything is vanity. And that is what we're living at right now. The world, if you listen to certain newscasters, they say, oh, these people, this entire group of people killed Charlie Kirk. But I have a neighbor who's a member of that political party, and he's not happy Charlie Kirk died. So why are you including my neighbor into those group of people? There's people going on saying there's no longer discussion. You can no longer have discussion with any of these people. There needs to be action. There's people in churches terrified of things. Brother Jacob mentioned the church shooting a while ago that happened. That's sad. That I'm not downplaying that at all. But we don't need to live in a spirit of fear. We don't need to constantly be consuming fear-mongering fruits. We don't need to be constantly consuming food that festers that fear-mongering. Because that's going to go into your heart. It's going to fester. It's going to overflow. Then you're going to start spewing fear-mongering and get others fearful as well. John 15, verse 8. So 18, 15, 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So Jesus saying, the world's going to hate you. That should not be a surprise to the Christian people. Let's hop over to 16. Excuse me. Verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. What is that offended? It is to disturb, to annoy, or to cause to fall, stumble. It's these things that he previously mentioned, I've spoken unto you, so that you do not stumble in your faith, in the walk of your faith. You do not stumble in the faith. So he gave those things previously. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. We know that can all, that also refers, that happened very quickly with the Apostle Paul when he was called Saul. He persecuted the Jews. He killed the Jews. They ran them out of the synagogue in Jerusalem. But you can see that today as well. I was talking to Philip and Brother Duncan when we went out to eat today. This week in Arizona, there was a serial killer. I mean, he only murdered one man, but he would have murdered more if he got away with it. He had a list of 15 local pastors, and he lured one of them into his house and crucified him. And he was going to crucify the 14 others because he said he was doing the will of God, fighting against the doctrine of the Trinity. The time cometh when that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God a service. He said, Brother Matt, you just said you're not to give us fear-mongering. You said not to take in fear-mongering news. Jesus said, it's going to happen. Don't be afraid. I'm telling this to you so it does not take you by surprise and you stumble in your faith. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Again, that man claimed to be doing the will of God, but according to 1 John... If I got this memorized right, correctly? Yes. 1 John, for context's sake, chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Again, throughout your Bible it says, don't be surprised at this. Jesus said, don't fear when this happens. It is, I'm telling you this now so you don't stumble when it happens. It does not catch you by surprise. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God's not going to tell a man to murder another man. Jesus, whenever he was asked if he was king of the Jews, he said, if my people were, I'm misquoting this, I'm paraphrasing, if my people were of this, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. He didn't command his servants to fight. He commanded them to go out and to preach and teach the gospel. He did not go out, he did not tell us to go out and kill heretics. Every Christmas I like to joke about the historical Nicholas, Santa Claus, as he's called, because in the 300s when he was alive, he punched a man in the face for denying the Trinity. But that's not of God. That's what not God commanded us to do. That's not what God sent us to do. I like to joke about that because it's a funny concept to me, but whenever you see it play out in real time, it's not funny. It's not of God. It's men who start absorbing that evil food and that hatred, and it swells in their heart, and the overflow causes these actions. Again, if you hate your brother, if you fester on that, if you keep eating that fruit of hatred, it's going to swell. You may murder someone one day. You might want to get that took care of. Are you eating good fruit or are you eating evil fruit? Are you eating good food? You eating evil food? You eating healthy food or are you eating junk food? Going back to John 16. These things have I told you, verse 4. These things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That reprove is to convince of a fault, or to make manifest. Whenever Jesus left, the Comforter came to us, and he convicted the world of sin, and he manifested the righteousness of God, and he made known the judgment of the world. The Comforter is there again. What is comfort? It's comforting. It's not there to terrify you. It's there to comfort you. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So you have there, again, the Comforter is going to come whenever Jesus left earth the first time. The Comforter came, and it condemns the world of sin, it shows the righteousness of God, it shows the judgment that is to come. And again, all this is so we're not caught unawares. So we are not swept up in the spirit of fear. Let me get this right here. Matthew 24, verse 3. So again, I ask, are you eating of the fruit that comforts you? Are you eating of the fruit that the Bible? Are you eating of the fruit that convicts you of your sins? Are you eating of the fruit that tells you you're okay? Are you eating of the fruit that says, these things are going to happen, don't fear? Or are you eating the fruit of the world that says, panic, panic, everyone's out to kill you? Matthew 24:3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." We see that all the time. "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So he says the wars, but he says, wars are going to happen, but be not troubled. What is troubled? Disturbed, agitated, afflicted, annoyed, interestingly, molested. Troubled. He's saying these things are going to happen. He's been saying, don't get caught unaware when these wars, rumors of wars comes. Don't be caught unaware when people will claim to kill you in the name of God. I'm telling you all this so it is not a stumbling block to your faith whenever it catches you off guard, like it will happen to those in verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." He's telling you, don't be terrified to the point where you cannot do anything, because that's just a sign I'm coming back. Our hope is not that we die a peaceful old age. Our hope is in Jesus. Again, are you eating from the Bible? Are you eating the meals prepared in the Bible that are good for you, are healthy for you? Or are you spending all your time on the news? Are you spending all your time online, constantly eating food that terrifies you, is bad for you, makes you sickly, makes you weak in the faith? The focus on keeping the faith. Persecutions will come, but deceivers shall wax worse and worse. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 4 through 8. This is Paul writing to Timothy. "Greatly desiring to see thee, Timothy, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Amen. Paul's in jail. Paul's getting ready to die. Says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, and don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He's getting ready to die, and he says, do not be ashamed. He's getting ready to die. He tells Timothy, do not fear. Jesus wrote all these years, Jesus said these all these years ago that wars, rumors of wars, we're in a country, last time I checked, we got a military. Last time I checked, there's a lot of people who don't like us and a lot of people we don't like. And we got fickle people running the government that any time could snap their fingers and say, okay, we're going to war. But again, it says, do not fear. I know that sounds contradictory. Matt, you're stirring up fear. But the Bible says this is going to happen. Wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be Christians in those wars that take place. There are going to be Christians in those countries that there are rumors of war. But he said, do not fear. Do not get in such a panic that you just cannot do anything. partake of your Bible, partake of the good fruit, so when these things happen, you are not caught unawares. It does not hurt your faith. Paul just said all this to Timothy, do not fear. Do not be afraid to testify of God. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, he goes on to say, But thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul didn't have the spirit of fear. Paul was not ashamed to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord delivered him out of all those situations. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're living right for God, persecution is going to come. Again, that sounds like fear-mongering, but it's the truth. It is going to happen. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be in our lifetime. But all who honestly live godly will face persecution. All these warnings in the Bible are not there so you sit in terror and say, cower, say, oh, what am I going to do? They're going to kill me. What am I going to do? They're out to get me. He says, I'm telling you this so your faith in God is not weakened, so when persecutions come, you are ready. So again, are you eating good fruit that fills your heart, that whenever trouble comes, you're able to glorify God? Or are you eating bad fruit that fills your heart with fear, that it overflows and you're full of terror, terrifying others? Let's see, where did I stop here? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, which would have been the Gospels of Jesus, in those things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, you have your Bible. You have the Word of God. Again, in our analogy, it's full of meals. It's full of good, healthy meals. Take part of that Scripture. Don't worry about other books that tell you to fear. Don't worry about other books that tell you God has failed to keep His promises, time to go build a bunker. Eat of the good fruit. Be filled with the good fruit. Be filled with good things. Do not be filled with fear. And to finish this off, again, going back to the political issues going on in our country, I mentioned people say there's no longer any communication with these. We can no longer have discussions. Both sides are saying that. It's time for action. Well, again, that can very easily creep into the church. There's no time. I don't want to talk to these people. That person hates me. I'm not going to talk to him. That person kills me. I have to kill him before he kills me. That's the spirit of fear. That's not the spirit of God. People say you're no longer able to have civil conversation in America. That is fear-mongering. That is not true. That is especially not true from the Christians. It doesn't matter how much someone wants to kill you. We are to give them the gospel. You notice we've been quoting Paul this for the majority, for half of this. Jesus for half, Paul for the other half. Let's go to Acts number 7. Jesus said they'll run you out of the synagogue to kill you. But yet, the apostles still went to the synagogue and preached. The apostles still went to Jerusalem and preached to the Pharisees the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a young man here during the stoning of Stephen in chapter 7, verse 55. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they, the Pharisees, the Jews, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord," and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, Stephen calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. What does that consenting mean? That consenting to the death of Stephen, if I got my definitions correct, is he took pleasure in it. And Saul was taking pleasure unto the death of Stephen. So, if Saul was in modern day America killing the Christians, a majority of Christians right now would say, there's no more time for talk. They want to kill us. We have to do everything we can to stop them. Is that the way God wanted it? Did God say, if my kingdom was of this world, my people would fight? But His kingdom's not of this world, so His people don't fight. His people go out and give the message of the gospel to Saul, who wants them dead. Again, that is the good fruit. That is what that good fruit does. If you keep eating the good fruit, if you keep eating the message of God, that you want to give the gospel out, you'll want to give it to the very man who's putting you in chains, dragging you to the city to kill you. You will still give him the gospel. That is what eating the good fruit is. That's the fruit we should be eating. Not this fruit of fear that says, they want to kill me, I better kill them first. No, Jesus says, give the gospel to every creature, whether they want to cut your head off or no. Give them the gospel. That is the church's command. Not standing in fear. Give the gospel to every creature. And look what happens because we didn't kill Saul. Because we didn't fight Saul. Even though Saul wanted to fight us. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Want to put a tag here? People say, Saul never killed anybody. Well, he was pleased at the death of Stephen. In Jerusalem, they were killing the Jews, and he just got a writing that said, any Christian you find, bring them to Jerusalem where we're killing the Jews. I think Paul killed some people. But as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain man, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? He said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And I say, Lord, he's killing the Jews. Lord, he's killing the Christians. And here, he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and for the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then Ananias went his way and entered into his house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyeth them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You were just out killing people the other day, and now you're claiming to be one of us? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and that how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. When the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarshish. But for the sake of time here, again, which fruit are you going to eat? Every Christian in Damascus had opportunity to kill their enemy who was killing the Christians. God said, my soldiers would fight if my kingdom was of this world. God commanded them to go talk to Saul, to give him the gospel, to prove himself. Saul's conversion. Saul got converted. Saul was killing Christians. He got converted. Jesus said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, evil men are going to grow more. Deceivers are going to grow more. More and more men are going to want to kill you. But instead of going the way of the world and fighting them and killing them, you should want to give them the gospel. Again, what's coming out of your heart? What is your heart filled with? Is your heart filled with the good food of Jesus and the gospel? Excuse me. Or is your heart filled with the bad food of the world and eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth? It's a shorter message today, I know, but that's why I feel the Lord laid on my heart to give, Brother Jacob. Which fruit are you eating? Are you eating of the good fruit? Are you eating of good things? Or eating bad fruit and evil things?